President Trump caught members of both political parties off guard with a tweet last night announcing that he was ending negotiations over another coronavirus relief package. The tweet read in part, quote, "I have instructed my representatives to stop negotiating until after the election when, immediately after I win, we will pass a major stimulus bill that focuses on hardworking Americans and small business," end quote. Now, since then, the president has walked that language back a bit, suggesting he is open to smaller standalone bills, including relief for the airline industry or another round of individual stimulus checks. Well, we caught up with Massachusetts Congressman Richard Neal earlier to get his reaction. He represents the 1st District and is chairman of the Ways and Means Committee. I started by asking what he made of the president's comments about shutting down negotiations.
Well, I think it's ill considered. I think the economic evidence and the health evidence are both overwhelming. And I think it's very clear that you want to remind the American people that until we defeat the virus, it's going to be hard to get to a pronounced economic recovery. Simple matter here is clear. People are going to need another round of stimulus checks. We're going to need another round of unemployment insurance with the supplemental $600 that we've proposed. Our hospitals are going to need more money as we proceed to perhaps a resurgence of the virus. The expansion of the retention tax credit would be important as well. And I think that on an overall basis, the advice that was offered by Jay Powell, not just yesterday, incidentally, but as the notes of what took place during the September meeting of the Federal Reserve Board, they painted a pretty ominous design on where we find ourselves. And I think that the president is ignoring the advice of healthcare people and economic people simultaneously.
Congressman, the president tweeted that he didn't feel the Democrats had been negotiating in good faith. Prior to this announcement, did you feel talks had been making progress?
The talks were making progress. The Ways and Means Committee, we did much of this work. I know exactly what the Speaker of the House offered in terms of the negotiation. Recall that the HEROES Act that we passed on May 15th of this year, at $3.4 trillion, was simultaneously compromised for the purpose of addressing on a shorter-term basis, obviously, but nonetheless getting that money into the hands of people who needed it. She moved from $3.4 trillion to $2.2 trillion. The administration moved from $1 trillion to $1.6 trillion. I could see, even if we had a shorter timetable, that that would be part of the compromised answer here. It made good sense all the way around. So I think the impetuous nature of the president's decision-making here reared its head once again. His devotion to the stock market, I think, probably has caused him to reverse the course again. And I think that an understanding here of what is going to be necessary for the American people, not just in terms of sustenance for the daily necessities of life, but also simultaneously creating demand. People are going to have trouble making rent payments. That means that the owners of properties are going to have trouble making mortgage payments, and that eventually will seep into problems in community banking and credit unions, who overwhelmingly are the originators of mortgages.
You just expressed concern about people being able to meet the daily necessities of life. It seems like the president was trying to carve out a win for himself. Later in a tweet, he said, quote, "If I am sent a standalone bill for stimulus checks, parentheses, $1,200, they will go out to our great people immediately. I am ready to sign right now. Are you listening, Nancy?" End quote. Is there an outcome where the Democrats deal with the president just on the stimulus checks before the election and take up the rest later?
Well, I think that what we need is a broader package here, and I think unemployment insurance has to be part of it, and I think that more money for our hospitals will have to be part of it, and the retention tax credit is going to have to be part of it. But where the Speaker and I helped design this package, where we came to the conclusion on the timetable was very simple. Rather than a year, we would take this into the end of January and then take a look at what the economy and the healthcare situation look like then. So, again, there's room here for compromise. I think the president has mistaken the position he took yesterday for the one he's already offering today. People do need that stimulus check, and they're going to need the supplemental as well.
When we talked in July, you expressed some real optimism that more relief would be coming. Right now, what we're talking about is a question of timing, and that matters, as you say, because people are hurting now. But do you maintain optimism that the package of types of relief that people need can be negotiated with the Senate and signed?
I do, and I want to point something out that I think is essential. The CARES Act, which was overwhelmingly written by the Ways and Means Committee, saved the American economy. And the reason we were able to stabilize the COVID virus epidemic at that time was because of the infusion of money that we put into hospitals and testing. So you're going to need another round of money for testing as well. So I think that, again, the miscalculation at the White House, which incidentally should be is focused on one person, Secretary Mnuchin, I know, and based on conversations, he has repeatedly warned that you need an infusion of cash for purposes of liquidity into the system now.
So you've mentioned some members of the president's cabinet there. I want to shift gears a little bit. I want to ask you, how are you feeling in this moment about the level of functioning of our executive branch? Do you have concerns about the number of people with coronavirus diagnoses, the ability to coordinate when so many people have to be remote? You expressed some dismay over the president's attitude over the last 24 hours. How are you thinking about all of that?
I think that one of the most important jobs that the president has, any president for that matter, is in the arena of reassurance. Assuring the American people of stability and confidence and imbuing the system with optimism strikes me as one of the most earnest responsibilities that any president has. In this case here, it's the chaotic nature of tweeting on a daily basis. So yesterday, the stock market dropped by 1.4%. This morning, the stock market's up by 1.2%. And I think that this is not healthy in terms of trying to stem the tide of the virus. I think that the infatuation that the White House has with the stock market, or at least one person at the White House has with the stock market, is, again, not well thought out.
So given that you've been in conversations with other parts of the administration, any thought that there's a coalition that could be formed to convince the president to change course here and get a bill signed soon that satisfies enough of all the interested parties?
I think the compromise here is very obvious, and that is we shorten the duration of our plan, taking it to the end of January on the Democratic side, and they up the offer that they have on their side from $1.6 trillion to closer to $2.2 trillion, an acknowledgement that you need unemployment insurance extensions, you're going to need retention tax credit expansion, you're going to need money for our hospitals, you're going to need money for the stimulus checks that are going to be sent to people with the supplement, and everybody agrees on the nature of the challenge and the problem. The difficulty is that even I think most members of the administration agree, certainly Jay Powell, the chairman of the Federal Reserve Board, who I don't think you would describe him as a liberal Democrat. He is the one that has forewarned about the necessity of getting this money into the hands of people who need it. And I think that that advice is really sound.
The work of the government is continuing. Are there new safety precautions being taken in Congress now that there is an outbreak in D.C. in the administration? And are you thinking and are committees thinking about those things differently now?
Well, I think that in terms of precaution, I think that you could see the changes that have taken place, how the floor is actually managed. Those of us who have had the experience previously of voting at 15-minute intervals once the clock ticks down, we now find that the most routine vote can take up to an hour. And that's based upon the fact that alphabetically members are called to the House for the purpose of casting a vote and then urged to get off the floor swiftly. So the committee work that takes place, which I oversee on the Ways and Means Committee, we do that now all virtually by Zoom. And so the engagement has changed. There's no question about that. We've had a couple of chances to at least sporadically meet, but social distancing is adhered to, and I think face masks are worn. But the whole nature of engagement and interaction has substantially changed.
Last question for you, Congressman. We're less than a month away from the election, and we know the president has continued to question the integrity of that election. He did it during the debate with Vice President Joe Biden last week. Do you have a message to American voters and voters in the Commonwealth about the election?
Well, I think that the stability of our elections, based upon the idea that we can predict on a quadrennial basis that our election is going to take place on the first Tuesday after the first Monday, is essential to our functioning democracy. And despite the fact that the president has called attention to what he believes to be the inadequacies of voting by mail, he's simply mistaken. Up to 40% of the votes in this election are going to be cast by mail-in voters. You can see what happened to the turnout here in Massachusetts during the primary because people were able to exercise the use of mail-in voting. It was transformative. The numbers went way up. And I'm confident we're going to inaugurate a president on January 20th, despite what this president says.
And that is Congressman Richard Neal. He represents Massachusetts' 1st District and is chairman of the Ways and Means Committee. Congressman Neal, thanks so much for your time today. We appreciate you joining us.
Great to talk to you. All the best. Bye-bye.